The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at my board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, beautiful morning it is. We are so lucky to live in California. I just have to say that the weather is just beautiful. When we got up this morning, I looked out. I thought, wow, what an amazing day. And, you know, what an amazing weekend it's been. I mean, what a weekend. I mean, I could not believe what went on. You know, I went to the Women's March downtown Santa Rosa, and I could not believe it. In fact, I have a quick police report that I will do in just a moment. But first, I'd like to tell you who's going to be on the show this morning. I have four special guests this morning. Joining me on the phone this morning will be Liz Chalaret and Michelle Smith, two women from Sonoma County, will be giving us a report on the Million Women's March that they attended in Washington, D.C. The marches were a huge success all across the country. And here in Sonoma County, more than 5,000 people marched in Santa Rosa. But where do we go from here? You know, here we have this big march and all these wonderful things happening. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. To address that question, I have two organizers, Carrie Fugette and Jeannie Bates, for the event that is happening on January 29th called the North Bay Community Fair. I love that. The North Bay Community Fair was an idea that grew out of the idea that all these marches are happening. And now what are people going to do? So what we're going to have is just a multitude of community-based organizations at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, and they'll give us all the information of where that's going to be, and you can come and visit, go around, talk to all the different organizers, and sign up and become involved, because that's what we're going to have to do. You know, there's a song that I love to play called By My Silence, I Give My Consent. You know, if we don't do anything, then we're saying it's okay. It's really okay. And, you know, I had some interesting conversations about these pink Pussy Project hats. And I want to just go over that for my listeners a little bit. The purpose of those hats were, number one, if you remember, our president at one point, there was some sort of film that came out where he was talking to some gentleman in a bus. I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but he mentioned the word pussy, and he made it sound so demeaning, you know, like, you know, he could just grab it. He could just do whatever he wants. So a group of women got together and said, how can we take back that word? So what they did was they decided to put these little pussy hats on and all these pink hats. And I think they were just absolutely adorable. And it was a way of creating solidarity for the women. And it was also a way of taking the negativity out of that word, you know, and owning it. It is our bodies, and we will not be insulted. We will not have words that are attached to us that are going to make us feel like we're less than. So it was a very empowering moment. And to see all those little hats, you know, it was just amazing. It was kind of a statement of solidarity. And I'd like to do a shout out for my very, very dear friend, our resident artist here in Sonoma County, Judy Kennedy. You know, sadly, I have to announce that a dear, dear friend of mine by the name of Bill Persoulis passed away, and I was really feeling very depressed, and Judy called me, and she's telling me, oh, I'm knitting all these hats, and I'm going to send them to Washington, D.C., and I said to her, well, can you make me a hat? Well, wouldn't you know it, here comes Judy Kennedy knocking on my door, sits down at my kitchen table, and knits me this hat. I mean, excuse me, crochets this hat. Oh, my God, she'd kill me if I said knit, crocheted this hat, and I was so impressed, so I have it here in the studio, and I'm looking at it. It's pink, and then I have my beautiful coat pink Women for Peace button on it that I am proud to announce that was given to me personally when Code Pink first started by Medea Benjamin. So I treasure it always. I'm showing it to my guest in the studio. So there's a lot going on in the world today, and the most important thing is to stay positive and to realize that we are not powerless. You know, united, we can do a lot. I mean, when I saw that march, we went down in downtown Santa Rosa. I'm going to read the police report here. On Saturday, January 21st, 2017, a women's march and rally was held at City Hall in downtown Santa Rosa. The event coincided with other women's marches occurring across the country. The crowd size was estimated. They estimated it at 5,000. And the most beautiful thing here that was written, the crowds were peaceful and well organized. I don't know about peaceful. I heard a lot of shouting there, but in a way that was not harmless. You know, it was harmless. The United States of America, think about it. We have a First Amendment that gives us the right to assemble, that gives us freedom of speech, that gives us freedom of religion. You don't know how powerful that is. You know, folks, we have to really think hard about what rights we have in this country, because I got news for you. Once you lose them, to get them back, it's almost impossible. I mean, in order for us to be the country that we are today, we had to go through a revolution. Many, many, many people die till we... None of it about us is perfect, but the one thing that we have that is perfect is that we have wiggle room. We can change. We can add amendments. We can do civil rights, all these different things, and we have to really start thinking about it. And that was what was so important about the march on Saturday. Another thing that I found stunning, I was amazed at how many women had the courage to bring their children out. I could not believe how many babies I saw, how many young people with signs and walking with their mothers and their fathers. It was amazing. I walked up to one young woman and I said, you know, it takes a lot of courage bringing your child here. He says, that's what I'm here for. I want a future for my child. There's no future if we're going to continue to war. There's no future if we continue to squander money and do things that have make no sense. And I constantly ask one question. And that is, are we a country of life or a country of death? You know, when you have $619 billion going into military and you read in the front page of the Press Democrat this morning that our education system is in trouble, we have to start thinking about that. Education is for the future of our children. War kills them. So we have to start thinking about things. So that's a lot to bite on, but you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. I also want to do a shout out here because the march was really amazing. I was there. I carried the NOW banner. As everybody knows, I've recently been elected as the president for the National Organization for Women, our Sonoma County chapter. I'm very, very proud of that. And that's one way women can get involved. You know, it's very important that we get together and we hold hands and say, we are here, we count. And now the National Organization for Women actually is one of the oldest women's organizations in the United States. And it's exciting that we have a chapter. Retired Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey was there. Councilwoman Judy Combs was there. And my dear, dear friend, Reverend Ann Gray Bird was there. Annie Dobbs Kramer spoke. And from the North Bay Organizing Project, and a special shout out to Congressman Jared Huffman, who refused to go to the inauguration, which I thought was very interesting. You know, Congressman Huffman is pretty conservative, and for him not to statement. And one thing I want to read is really funny. I found something that was, I just thought was the cat's meow, if I can find it. Am I not going to be able to find it, all these papers? Oops, I can't find it. Okay, I will go on to something else. I had this wonderful thing about Dr. Seuss, that there was a wonderful cartoon that they had, and I'll see if I can find it in my papers as we move along. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to play one of my favorite songs by Ellen Buxtail, because this is what the... this was what the march was all about. It's like, hey, Mr. Politician, get out of my body. You know what I mean? Just get out of it. Who are you? You know, today we are celebrating 44 years since we got permission as women, the right to own our own bodies. I don't like to get into the abortion thing because I don't know if I'm for abortion or I'm against abortion. I mean, that's an individual choice. But what I am for is choice. And that's what Roe versus Wade did for us. They gave us the choice over our own bodies. And nobody has the right to take that away from us. And I still cannot figure out, in my wildest dreams, how women got degraded to second place when we're the ones that bring in the future. We're the ones who bring in the children. Whether you have a child or not, the great spirit, the higher power, however you want to call it, gave us that in our bodies to bring forward the future. And we're treated like second-class citizens. And what we produce are even treated less than that. I mean, can you imagine war, killing innocents over education, war over health care? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. And everything that we're doing is we're harming our children and we're harming the future. So there's a lot to think about. And I encourage you, please start thinking. I mean, there was a big poster at the parade. Let's get America to start thinking again, you know, thinking about what's real and what's right and what you're paying attention to. Anyway, the song I'm going to be playing is by my dear friend Ellen Bookstill. It's called Hey, Mr. Politician. And I think it really speaks to what we are talking about and why the women were marching. So many. I mean, I can't wait to talk to the women in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's going to be exciting. And so what the idea on the song is to let people know that we as women are speaking out and we're saying no more. Anyway, here we go with Helen Bookstale's Hey, Mr. Politician.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. It's not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible to make laws that discriminate. If I choose, it's not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church. Don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. It's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade, teaching our children to fight. Or say, can you see? The dawn's early light. Amen.
separated church from state.
Your religion should never or take away my freedom.
My freedom to choose. My freedom to choose. That's what it's all about, ladies. My freedom to choose. Choice. We want choice over our lives. Anyway, before I make a few other announcements, I just want to give people a little bit of an update. 750,000 people marched in Los Angeles. There's a big debate as exactly how many walked in Washington, D.C. Some say 800,000, some say a million, some say 400,000. The media just can't make up its mind. Anyway, for you just joining us, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, the board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest that's talking to me all the way from Washington, D.C. She attended the march, and we have Liz Chalet. Welcome, Liz. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, good morning, California time. It's afternoon here.
Well, Liz, I just think it's wonderful that you are willing to be on Women's Spaces and talk about your experience in Washington, D.C. And before we go on, I have this little saying that I found. You know, it was Dr. Seuss's, you know, The Cat in the Hat. And this is the poem they wrote. I do not like you down my shirt. I do not like you up my skirt. I do not like you near my rump. I do not like you, Mr. Trump.
I love it. I love it.
Well, Liz, let's start out a little bit. You know, talk a little bit about yourself. And how do you pronounce your last name? I want to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, you were close. It's Liz. Last name is Schallert.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Liz?
Okay. Well, I am a 57-year-old woman, live in Santa Rosa. She's got three children. Not really much of an activist, but I'm feeling like that might be a place that I want to explore. I'm feeling, I'm just a regular woman that has a full-time job. I play a lot of soccer. I pay my taxes. And, I'm an American. And I feel really strongly that this new administration that's coming in is really trying to take away so many of our rights. Specifically women's rights around, it's interesting, the song that I was just listening to that you played right before I came on talks exactly about how I feel about the right to choose. You know, Planned Parenthood is essential to so many people. I used that service many, many, many years ago, and, you know, I don't know what I would have done if Planned Parenthood hadn't been around for me, and the fact that the incoming administration wants to do away with that.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine they want to do away with having that? They won't even give us birth control. You know, Liz. Before we go any further, I have to ask you a personal question. You play soccer.
I do.
My daughter plays soccer. Susan Jensen. You might know her.
Oh, of course I do. I know Susan. Yes.
Well, what a small world it is.
It is a small world. It's a very small world.
Well, that's my daughter, Liz. That's my daughter, Susan, and I'm just so proud of her. Well, tell our listening audience, what motivated you to, you know, to all of a sudden, what was the moment that all of a sudden you said, darn it, I am going to Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's interesting because I was on Facebook, you know, listening or reading all of the comments that were coming out. Excuse me. And a couple of my friends said, hey, I want to go. And then another one said, well, I want to go. And like, I'm like, let's go, you know, and it just snowballed. I had a friend come from Los Angeles that I had met on a vacation last year in Belize. Only met her a couple of times and she booked the hotel room. And my friend Marcel from down the street, that I had met in a NAMI group had, said, well, I want to go. And, you know, it just snowballed, and we booked the room, and, you know, then we booked the flight, and, you know, we're all like-minded, and even though Marcel's issues are a little bit different than mine, she's a white woman with four black children, and her motivation for being here is that she feels really discriminated against. You know, her children are called racial slurs, and that was her motivation. Mine is Planned Parenthood. Cindy's, you know, we're completely different, or the same. And it just snowballed, and here we are. So
the most important thing, Liz, is that you are two women that flew together and supporting one another, and you're there to make a statement. It is so important. So when you went to the parade, you know, I know here in Santa Rosa, it was amazing to me because, you know, I'm part of the National Organization for Women, and so we were bringing a banner. And, I mean, bringing a banner to a march like that is a story all in itself. And we were kind of stuck. You know, we could not move. There were so many people. So describe what it was like in Washington. I mean, they're going from 400,000 to 800,000 to a million. It seems they can't make up their mind. What was it like, and how big was the crowd, and what was your estimate?
The crowd was humongous. We noticed it immediately when we got to Metro. The lines were unbelievable. The doors opened and you couldn't even get on the cars because they were so packed. Well, we just jumped in, and really I felt like I was, because I'm kind of short, I was feeling very claustrophobic. We were packed. However, the crowd was so, it was gentle, it was kind, it was just, the majority of, you know, were women, lots of men in pink hats, and then the doors opened up, and we're like, oh my God, this is amazing, this is big, this is really big, this is not going to be just a little march here by just some angry women. It is going to be big. And as we walked closer and closer to where the stage was, they had these big, huge screens, huge speaker systems. What I found very interesting was that the police officers, there weren't very many of them. There were hardly any police officers, but every single one of them, they were smiling, they were high-fiving, we were taking pictures with them, and, you know, everybody was thanking them for being there. It was so peaceful. It was just like a big love fest, almost. I mean, it was... like, we're all here, we're all in this together. I kept hearing that, we're all in this together. And it was empowering. I mean, it was just empowering.
I want to say something. I want to inject something here, talking about the police. I want to do a shout out for our police chief here in Santa Rosa. He actually, when the cars ran out of it an hour, said no ticketing. I mean, he actually cooperated. And we had, in fact, what they did on the police report, it was very interesting. They said it was a very peaceful march with no incidents. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happens when women, because, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. We have the children there. There's all kinds of things happening that we're very aware. Well, you know, talking about the, I'm real curious about, were there a lot of pussycat hats there? And what did that look like?
God.
And how were people responding to that?
Well, it was great. So we started, when we flew into Chicago, it was a long flight. We did, you know, several hops. But when we flew into Chicago, that's when the women started pulling out the pink hats. And then we started kind of, you know, joining each other and chatting, where are you from? Well, where are you from? And, you know, it was just like this, like the snowball just forming and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we were taking pictures and everybody smiling. But when we got to the march, because I'm short, I couldn't see. And there were so many people. I was surrounded by people. But I was able to get up on kind of a barrier that took me, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet up on top of the crowd. And I was shocked. Elaine, I could not believe the sea of people and the sea of pink. And it was not just women. There were so many men. And as men would pass me by, I'd be like patting them, saying, thank you for supporting us. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, like, why wouldn't we be?
So well, they're their wives. Women are their wives and their mothers. I mean, let's face it, guys, mm-hmm. Without a woman, right. You wouldn't even be here.
And that was part of the, you know, part of what we were hearing from the announcers, that, hey, without women, none of us would be here. So it was almost brought tears to my eyes to just see the amount of pink. It was, and that just happened really quickly, right? I mean, somebody said, hey, let's do pink hats, and boom, people are knitting them. It was on YouTube on how to make them, and... I just couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
Well, and what about speakers? Were you able to catch any special speakers? What impacted you the most, and who impressed you the most?
Well, I was impressed with Michael Moore. One for a block and a half, maybe. So I could see him on the the big screen.
Oh, good, good.
But the speaker system was excellent. I mean, I don't know where they got it from, but it was excellent. So it was very clear. You could hear every word. And his big message was, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. They think that this is big. Wait until we really get started and organized. And one of his biggest suggestions is that every single day, you, me, your sister, your neighbor, your mother, whoever, can make a difference by making phone calls to your senator. And I'm going to give you the number because he gave it to us, and so I'm passing it on. It's 202-225-3121, and let them know how you feel about the cabinet picks, how you feel about Planned Parenthood, and you will get a live person. If you don't know who your senator is, you ask them, you give them your zip code, and they will put you through. They're saying that the mailboxes are jammed, but keep trying. Evidently, it's had a huge impact because now Betsy DeVos's appointment has been postponed until January 31st. So we're making a difference. They heard us. They might not like us, and they might not want to acknowledge us, but they heard us. And, you know, there's power, and we can do that. Madonna, of course, you know, with her Madonna-ness.
I'll tell you something. We need every type of conversation, every type of expression to let people know. You know, we're coming to the end of the segment, and I'd like you to give that phone number again. And I also would like anything else that you would like to share, anything that you think is so important. And Liz, I want to compliment you. You know, I know you were a little bit nervous, but I would give you an A++ for this interview. I mean, what you're giving us in Sonoma County, I cannot thank you enough. You're just doing an absolutely wonderful job. Is Marcelle Smith around with you? Would she like to say hello or anything?
She is. She is.
Marcelle, would you like to say hello on Women's Spaces?
Hello.
Hi there, Marcelle. What was your experience, my dear?
Oh, my gosh. I'm 50 years old, and it's the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life. It was amazing.
What was amazing for you, my love? What was the most amazing part, one or two?
Just to see everybody coming together for all the issues that are concerning America right now with this new administration. Everybody standing together. It was very helpful.
So you didn't feel alone. You felt like you had sisters surrounding you.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, what I want to do is I'm going to have Ken keep you guys on the line because I'm going to be playing a song by Chris Williamson, and the song is called Sister, and it's a beautiful, beautiful song. In fact, when I first started Women's Spaces, it was one of the first songs that I actually played, and this was in 1976. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Marcel. You're from Santa Rosa, right?
Yes.
What motivated you to go?
Well, I don't like to use the word fearful, but I am extremely fearful for people of color, especially women of color that are being targeted, Muslim women, African-American women. And so I'm very fearful for discrimination against them. And so that's very concerning for me. And it's a very scary thing. I guess that's just me, but
well, it is scary. I think, Marcel, I think that you're saying that's the truth. The truth in all of our hearts is we are fearful. You know, we're fearful of losing our country. We're fearful of our children not having medical care, not having good education. We're fearful of all these wars. I mean,
exactly.
But the thing is, the first letter in fear is F, which is the other side of fear, is faith, and we must have faith in each other that we will make changes. Just like Liz said about the Secretary of Education, that it's kind of being stalled right now. That people are thinking. I mean, people have an impact. We are a country, and we are a body of people. Well, is there anything in particular you'd like to share? Anybody, either one of you, like to say hello to or do a shout out to?
Here, I'll let Liz answer that question. Hold on.
Thank you so much, Marcel. Thank you. Liz, we're coming to the end of this segment. Anything else that you would like to let people know about you or about the march or anything you feel?
Sure. I just want to say that this is just the beginning. We all, even though we're just one person, we, if we're standing together, they just, they can't ignore us. We have the power. We need to organize, and we need to have our voices heard every single day. You've got to call that number. You've got to call your U.S. senators. You've got to call Congress. You've got to let them know that we're not going to take it, that they can't do this. This is our America. It's not just their America. It's our America. And the other thing I want to say is that the next march that's coming up, I heard, is April 15th, and that is the day that we are going to demand to see Trump's taxes. Because if I have to pay taxes and you have to pay taxes and Marcel needs to pay taxes, then I think that Donald Trump needs to pay taxes. And so that's what I'm hearing is April 15th is the next big, you know, get together or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we're going to organize and we're not going away. We are not going away. So the number, can I give you the number again?
Go ahead.
Okay. It is 202-225-3121. And if you don't know who your senators are or who your representatives are, give them your zip code and they will put you through to your person. So,
well,
that's
Liz,
what I have to say.
Well, Liz, I want to thank you and Marcel from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and for doing such a wonderful, wonderful interview. And a special shout out to all the women and their children and all the men who supported them for the courage to go to Washington, D.C. and to say, this is our country, not your country, and we demand that we do the right thing. So thank you, Liz and Marcel, and have a safe trip home. And please contact me when you get home, because I'd like to see if we can bring you into the studio and have a little bit more of a conversation on this.
I would love to do it. Thank you for letting us be heard.
Oh, no, thank you. This has been wonderful. This has been wonderful. Wow, folks.
Wow,
an exclusive from Washington, D.C. I have two ladies in the studio with me, and they're just got these beaming smiles. We're all smiling. Thank you so much, Liz and Marcel. And I hope you're still on the line, because what we're going to do now is we're going to take a musical break. And this song is dedicated to all the women out there, all the women with their children, and also to the recognition of the men also that supported us. It's called Sister. Lean on Me, I Am Your Sister, and it's by Chris Williamson. And when we return, we're going to be talking to two people. We're going to be talking to Janini Bates, and we're going to be talking to Carrie Fugate, and they're going to be talking about an action, a real strong program that's going to be happening here in Santa Rosa, California on January 29th. So here we go with Chris Williamson and Sister.
Child of God. Spirit is crying. Spirit is crying. Born of the earth, child of God, just one.
Lean on me, I'm your sister. Lean on me, I'm your friend. And I think that's what the Women's March was all about, coming together and sisterhood, coming together and making a statement is that we are together, we are women, and we will have a voice. You know, I love that song, remember, I am women, hear me roar. In numbers, too big to ignore. Well, we proved it this time. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce my two new guests, Carrie Fugette and also Jeannie Bates. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you so much.
Oh, this is honored to be here.
Oh, it's so much fun to have you here. This has been a great, great show. I mean, wasn't that wonderful having those people from New York? I mean, come on. I mean, excuse me, Washington, D.C. There's so many marches going on. It's like your head is in March here. It's just amazing what's happening across the world. Well, listen, before we start, I'd like to tell my listening audience a little bit about you. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Carrie Fugette was born and raised in Sebastopol. She graduated from UC San Diego with a B.S. in physiology and neuroscience. Boy, that's a pretty good degrees here. After graduating, she worked as a field biologist on a variety of projects, including researching the impact of agriculture on frogs. Prior to joining Sonoma County Conservation Action, she worked as a community organizer for sustaining agriculture in Australia, and she managed a social responsibility program for an IT firm in San Francisco, where she also consulted on Salesforce.com. Her love for Sonoma County, its environment, and community brought her home here to Sebastopol, and that's where she resides. Well, welcome, Carrie. And then Jean Bates, is a psychotherapist, a mother of two, and actually she's a grandmother of four. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. You know, that's what it's all about, Jean.
No,
I mean,
kidding.
We're grandmothers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, this is serious business. She's a 16-year resident of Sebastopol. After living in San Francisco for 30 years, 16 years ago, she moved to Sebastopol and is a member of the Unitarian Universal Congregation in Santa Rosa and active in working for social justice. Well, thank you, and welcome both of you to Women's Spaces. I'm really excited about here having you here. Is there anything else you'd like to add about your bios or that you'd like our listeners to know about you?
Well, thank you, first off, Elaine, so much for having us, and really thankful for the opportunity to be in this Women's Spaces and for the other voices you're bringing in. Listening to Liz and your other caller was really inspirational. Their story straight from D.C., almost brought tears to our eyes here in the office. And we're really glad to be a part of this community. As you mentioned, I'm the director of Sonoma County Conservation Action, and we're one of many organizations coming together in a coalition.
Talk about that. Tell us a little bit about the program, the Conservation Action. What do they do and who? I mean, I've never heard of them before this, so I want to know everything about you.
All right. Well, Sonoma County Conservation Action was founded by Bill Cornum 25 years ago, and we're an environmental advocacy group who has been fighting grassroots environmental battles since day one, and protecting open space, clean air and water, and our environment here in Sonoma County. We've helped get community separators around between different communities, urban growth boundaries, help protect development on our coast, help protect redwoods, a whole slew of different environmental issues that we've been advocating for, bringing political transparency to our local political system, engaging community members, mobilizing community members, doing letter writing campaigns, basically a local environmental movement trying to engage our citizenry in local politics.
Well, how do you feel about this new administration coming in? We're here, they're appointing someone to the EPA who is a climate change denier. I mean, how do groups like yourself work with that type of attitude?
It's very terrifying, to be blunt, but it's also very motivating, because we've had people since Trump has been elected walking into our office off the street just saying, what can I do? How can we plug in? And that is some of what has caused us to put this event together. So as we were chanting on Saturday, stronger together, we really believe that. And we have been fighting for the environment and our community for 25 years. And a lot of other people have too, and we need to work together. So we're a part of Another World is Possible coalition, Jeannie with the Unitarian Church, among many other organizations putting this event together.
Well, I want to ask Jeannie a question. Jeannie, it was very interesting because yesterday I know at the Universalist Unitarian Church, they had the Interfaith Council had a big event there. Yeah. Well, why are those things important? I mean, I believe personally, the spiritual aspect, you know, the going within, meditating, getting in touch with yourself is very important. But why do you think it's important for, say, spiritual programs like the Universal Unitarian, even the Catholic Church? I mean, everybody, why do you think it's important that they should be involved with this?
Oh, my goodness. Because I think the communities of faith have something, well, we all actually have something important to draw from, but particularly communities of faith whose values espouse really the respect for human dignity at every level. And it offers, depending on the particular faith-based community, excuse me, again, excuse me, there are many opportunities for social justice work. Certainly within the Unitarian Universalist congregation, there's a very active social justice work. But it's the love. It's about love for humanity. And most of the, well, all of the concerns that humanity, the natural world, which includes humans and the environment, such an important place to start. To be concerned and then take those concerns into actually loving action.
You know, it's interesting because two of the things that we're told not to talk about is politics and religion. Mm-hmm. And they're the two things that really impress us. Mm-hmm. And another thing I want to throw in here about as far as, you know, a lot of this idea of faith-based, you know, we call ourselves a Christian nation. And the thing that really bothers me, that really annoys me, is that when you look at the historical Jesus, he was one of the most political activists. Mm-hmm. You have to say, I mean, going into the synagogues and throwing over the money changers and saying, get out, because this is immoral what you're doing. You're denying the people certain things. And here, you know, here we are in the 2017, and people, they say, oh, no, you know, religion really is political on so many levels. And I think that's why I just want to mention about the Interfaith Council. So let's get into what is, you know, you both of you were at the march, right? What was your feeling about the march? Give us your opinion. Where were you? Did you hear any speakers? What was your feeling there?
This is Jeannie. I heard all of the speakers. I was way up high on some parking garage. I don't even know what parking garage it was, but it was remarkable. The sea of people. And then when the rain began, the sea of umbrellas and the pink hats. It was just, it was one of those awakening moments where you could say, this is not just me and my family and my little nuclear bunch, but a community standing up, mothers and fathers and single people and dogs and children. It was remarkable. And then the march with the Hubbub Club. It was, you know, we just are going to go forward from here. There's just no question about it.
You know, our president, Alicia Sanchez, was one of the speakers there. Boy, was she powerful. That was wonderful when she spoke. And, you know, her husband, actually, Bernie, is part of the Hubbub. So, I mean, their presence was really there. Yeah. How about you, Carrie? What was your thought at the parade? I mean, at the march, excuse me.
Absolutely. So, Jeannie was looking down on me. We were down at the very bottom. We had a booth set up to help promote this event next Sunday. And we were bombarded with interest. We had so many people just with that energy of what's next. You know, I'm here, I'm present, I'm loving, I'm in this, and I want to make sure I understand how I can continue this. We were nearly out of flyers before the march even started. We had to go print another 1,000+. Everybody was just very engaged and open. I was wandering around the crowd, talking to people about the community engagement fair, about ways to plug in, and people were just, oh, how can I help? And we filled up pages and pages of volunteer signups, and just the energy of not just being in the moment, but wanting to continue it and understand how to continue that was inspirational.
Well, you know, what's also important to bring in here is that what is happening today is not just was not just happening today. This is a buildup over years of voting for the lesser of two evils, of not really paying attention to what's going on in Washington and how as folks are being manipulated. So on some levels, you know, what Trump has done is he's just brought it all to a head. He just said, this is how bad it is, folks. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay down and let it happen, or are you going to do something? And I feel what you're talking about is people demonstrated, I want to be involved. I want to be involved. Well, you know, there's a long history about how all this came about, your action that's going to be happening on the 29th. At one time, there was two marches that were planned, then they decided just to have one. And then there was all of a sudden this idea of how do you get the community more involved? What can we do? And then they had the March of Cross. The shout out to all the students at Santa Rosa JC. They also had a march on the evening of the inauguration, which is January 20th, and 300 people showed up, and it was pouring rain. I mean, you think 300 people marching in pouring rain, that's a dedication. So tell us, what motivated you? How did this idea of having this community engagement fair, how was that born?
Well, I think it's the question that everybody's been asking themselves, what's next? And we feel that there are so many amazing groups in Sonoma County doing great work for environmental, social justice, faith-based work, you name it. And they all are in need of help. And then we have, on the other side, 5,000+ people marching in Santa Rosa who want to do more. And we just felt it's really important to help provide a venue to connect those two. The need in our community and people who are actively engaging in solutions and community members who are waking up, opening up their eyes, and realizing they need to take action. So that's what fueled this event. It's called the North Bay Community Engagement Fair. We have got nearly 80 organizations signed up. At the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds, it's been exponential interest, and it's basically just providing an area and opportunity for people to connect and plug in.
Well, you know, we'll be there.
I know.
I'll be there. Women's Spaces will be there. Ken's going to be there. So if people want to meet Ken, and he's our engineer here, see the man behind the woman here. And also, we're going to be there with the National Organization for Women, and we encourage membership. We actually, we're going to be having quarterly events, and there's all kinds of ways that people can be involved. I myself, actually, I'm looking to see if there's an intern. I'd like to have an intern for Women's Spaces, a woman out there who'd like to be trained in radio. And you know, I mean, I'm going to be 77 my next birthday. I'd hate to think when I left that this program would leave, you know, so I want to have another woman. So I'm just very, very excited about it. So name some of the organizations that are going to be there, if you don't mind.
Well, Brand New Congress. Go ahead, Kelly.
The Another World is Possible Coalition is the core. So the Farmers Guild, Sonoma County Conservation Action, North Bay Organizing Project, ARC, Alliance for Regenerative Communities, Unitarian Universalist, Sierra Club, those are definitely the...
Plus all the women's organizations.
Oh,
all,
yeah.
I mean, 80. It's amazing that we even have that amount that's going to come. Are they all from the local area, from Sonoma County? Oh,
yes.
My God, that is just amazing. Well, you know, it's really interesting, Carrie, because I noticed as you're talking, you're kind of lit up. You're excited. So talk about, tell people what it feels like to be involved and why. What is your excitement? I mean, what is it about being involved, doing something like this? Because this is not easy. But what feeling does it give you? Talk about that a little bit.
It's energizing. It's, you know, our community is so strong, and it's so easy to feel isolated in the world of social media and kind of being disconnected. So for me, it's just been meeting the people who are really involved in our community. It's been building relationships. It's been realizing that you do have an impact, as you said, Liz. You know, all of these phone calls have been made to the senators, and we're making impacts at a national level, at a local level, and it's really feeling like every action you do is making a difference that's tangible.
So what about yourself, Jean? How do you feel about this event? What inspires you? Are you going to be there as a universalist?
Of course. And in fact, I'm going to be working with the children's space. We're going to have a substantial children's space where kids can come and engage in activities that are tied in with our basic message about justice on so many different levels. In addition, in terms of what it means to me is that it provides a place for people to explore avenues of real connection. I think marches are wonderful. They're important. We're going to have to be in the streets a lot. And there's ongoing work. And there are these organizations that have been hard working. And here's an opportunity to invite some new people in.
Well, I want to address the idea of having a place for the children, which I think is very important, because people don't recognize, you know, we live in a world of media. You know, when I was 5 years old or 6 years old, I didn't have an iPhone in my hand, and I didn't know what the hell was going on in the world. Today, kids know. They know the wars. They know the violence, you know, and they are scared. Young people are scared. I am amazed at some of the stuff that's going on in some of the schools, how they have to talk to the kids. In fact, I write for this Sonoma County Gazette, Santa Rosa Snippets, and I came across the thing that the Santa Rosa City Schools made the schools a safe haven. And that means that before immigration officers can go into any school, they have to get permission from the superintendent. Now, that is an amazing thing. Now, that means these kids know, they understand. Maybe some of their parents are not documented. You know, they're fearful. And so having children be with the adults and showing that the adults are doing something is really important. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. So if you have children, come on down. There's going to be a great place for the kids to play, probably do some drawing. You
absolutely.
Know. And actually, they can be with other kids, and you'd be surprised how they may talk about things. So tell us about the logistics. Where it's going to be, how people can park. You know, is there still space for more people, or is that closed? I know one of the best things, I got to tell you, one of the best things you did is that I don't have to bring my own table. I can actually just show up with my brochures. Park my car, show up with my brochures. There's going to be a chair and a table, and it's just a few bucks. I mean, it was only $25 for a table, and then I guess it was another $5. I gave you a check for $50, so I hope that covers everything. But it's so reasonable, and it's free to the public. So so give us some logistics on that, Carrie.
So the location will be at the Garrett Hall at at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Parking will be off Brookwood Ave, which is on the east side of the fairgrounds. If you go to our website, communityengagementfair.com, you can see the address there. And you'll be entering in the fairgrounds on the east side to Garrett Hall.
Are they going to allow parking?
Yes.
It's free?
Yes, free parking.
Oh, my goodness, free parking. Oh, my goodness. What a joke. That in itself. I got to give you a shout out. Just free parking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's free and open to the public. As you said, we ask, you know, we're asking table vendors or
exhibitors
yes, to
participants,
yes, community
social
members.
Activists, yay. Aware people,
but it's free for the public, and it's been grassroots funded by a GoFundMe campaign to help cover the costs of the venue so we could keep it down for the exhibitors. Family friendly, like Jeannie said, we'll have the kids areas, and it's open to the public from noon until 5 p.m. So come in, have a stroll, hang out, sit down in our lounge area, talk to people. The idea is not just to, you know, be by yourself wandering around, but talk to other people, cross-pollinate, see what's going on, enjoy the afternoon in a community setting. And yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Just show up, and it's accessible and open to the public.
So that's going to be from 12 to 5, mm-hmm. January 29th. Is that a Saturday?
Sunday afternoon.
Oh, Sunday afternoon, yep. January 29th. It's going to be at the fairgrounds in Garrett Hall, and
yes.
It's free parking. They're going to have a place for children to play. I mean, there's no excuse not to be there.
Exactly. And if you are an organization that hasn't signed up yet, we will always make room, and we'll be cutting that off at 5 p.m. today. So if you are part of an organization that hasn't signed up yet, go to communityengagementfair.com. Under exhibitors, there's a link on how to sign up, and we'll be taking exhibitors up until 5 o'clock today.
Wow. This is really exciting.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you, Liz. Excuse me. I want to thank you, Carrie, and I want to thank you, Jean, for being here on Women's Spaces. And from the bottom of my heart, and I know the community feels this way, you did this within a week or so. I remember it was just boom. My friend June Brashares, I want to do a shout out from her for the Green Party, has been very involved. I'll tell you, she's such a great communicator. Mm-hmm. And it just, the way way it evolved was so quick that I just want to congratulate you. And thank you once again for blessing us, for being on Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being at the event.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us and for having this really important conversation, especially following the marches.
Well, thank you both. Oh, this is wonderful. Well, folks, that's it for our show. Special thank you to Liz Chalet and boy, I'm telling you something. I'm so excited about all this stuff that's happened. To Marcel Smith, the two women from Sonoma County who reported on the march on Washington, D.C., and to Jean Bates and Carrie Fugette from Sonoma County Conservation Action. Remember, if you are depressed or feeling low due to the outcome of all the elections, attend the Sonoma County Conservation Action on January 29th at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, and that's Garrett Hall. And let me tell you something, free parking. That is amazing. And find out where you can plug in. Action makes us feel better, makes us feel a lot better, and connects us with the community. You know, that's why I do Women's Spaces. I want to be connected. I want to do something. I want to feel like I'm part of. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements. And if you have any announcements like birthdays or anniversaries or births, you know, write me or email me at elaine@womenspaces.com, and I'll be glad to announce it. Remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose side of that. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. And I look forward to seeing you January 29th at Garrett Hall at the fairgrounds.
And a woman in your life, and a woman in your life is you.